Meeting to order. My name is Myron Fox. It's my honor to be your moderator. This is the 2004 annual town meeting of Sudbury. I declare a quorum present, and is Katie Lee Crane here? As most of you know, every year we have a member of the Sudbury clergy address the hall. It's my privilege to have the pastor of the First Parish of Sudbury, the Unitarian Universalist Church in town.
We have gathered here citizens of this town to serve a common purpose. We have gathered here to exercise a right and a privilege to speak our minds and to vote our conscience in service to this community. We have gathered here together, just as the Europeans who settled this town in 1638 gathered together, to conduct the business of our town. We pause before we begin. Before we begin that business, we pause to acknowledge the precious freedom granted to us by this process. May we never take it for granted. We pause to remember that we bring to this place, for this purpose, the best of who we are. We seek discernment, and we give to one another, regardless of how we may agree or disagree, our attention and our respect. And together, we make decisions. Together, we forge a future for our town. As we begin, let us call up in ourselves and in this body a readiness to do the work and a commitment to the common good. For this is why we have gathered. May it be so.
Is Stephanie Slavin here in the audience? Stephanie Slavin. Okay. Okay. We're going to hold. Stephanie was the LS student who was supposed to lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance. So we're going to hold on that because I think she's just getting out of an athletic event. I'd like to certify the free cash from the town accountant, Sue Peterson, and that number is $1,146,292. I have examined and found in order the call of the meeting, the office's return of service, and the town clerk's return of the mailing. I recognize Chairman Rupinian of the Board of Selectmen for a motion to dispense with the reading of the call of the annual town meeting, the office's return of service, notice, and the reading of the individual articles of the warrant.
So moved.
Is there a second?
Moderator.
All those in favor, please raise your cards. All those opposed, passes unanimously. Some introductions of the folks here on the stage, and I'll ask each person just to raise your hand for the new attendees who may not know you. Starting off with Barbara, to my right, Town Clerk is Barbara Silla. Assistant Town Clerk is Judy Newman. Selectman, he's pretty new on the job, John Drabinski. Larry O'Brien. And the Chair is Kirsten Rupinian. Next to her is Town Manager Maureen Valenti. Is the Town Accountant Sue Peterson is down there. And Town Council Paul Kenny is just out back. He'll be back in a second. He'll be sitting to my left immediately. At the view graph is Mary Daniels. And she is the office supervisor for the Selectman's Office. And Jan Silva is the administrative assistant to the Board of Selectmen. A little higher, please. I did two things before I decided to run for moderator. I thought about Tom Dignan and what a privilege it would be to follow his 19-year run. After that, I stopped by Loring Parsonage to make sure that Jan Silva was still there, because she's the one who prepares us for this town meeting. Finance Committee, co-chair is Tracy Billig, co-chair Bob Jacobson, Larry Rowe, vice chair, Sheila Stewart, John Nicola, Bill Nealon Jr., Martha Ragonis, Michael Grossberg, Shauna Simmons. Assistant Town Manager is Wayne Walker, down here in front. And Carrie Spadell, Finance Director, is at the view graph table. She's the one with all the numbers. We have a few announcements. Volunteers are needed for the annual roadside cleanup, which will be held on Saturday, May 1st. Inside the back cover of your warrant is a form to fill out if you wish to volunteer. Also in the back of the warrant, I believe it's the very back page, is a sign-up form to register your interest in serving on a town board or committee. Please consider how you might lend your talents to town government. Some committee memberships do not require a great deal of time, but all provide valuable contributions. I would urge you to fill that out and state your area of interest and return it to the Selectman's office. There's coffee, snacks, salads, and sandwiches out back behind me, sponsored by Sudbury Destination Imagination Teams under the direction of Barbara Baumgarten. Destination Imagination is an international youth-centered program emphasizing creativity, problem-solving, and teamwork. And also, everyone is invited on your way out to get a snack. On this card to my right is the annual Celebrates Arts student exhibit. In this card is just outside those doors. And also, there are extra warrants for anyone who forgot their warrant. They're out back in the doors that you came in. Also out back on that same table are materials on various articles that may be of interest to you. We have some guests tonight that I would like to introduce. They are the Lincoln Sudbury Foreign Exchange students. Pronunciations are thanks to Mary Ellen Gallagher at LS. First, I'd like to call up Minh Quang Nguyen from Hanoi, Vietnam. Minh is living with the McClellan family in Sudbury. Next, I'd like to call up Håkon Devold of Tvedestrand Strand, Norway, living with the Kamen Veldman family in Sudbury. And finally, we have Mariana Sorodyansky of Buenos Aires, Argentina, living with the Rice family in Lincoln. Thank you all very much for coming, and I hope you enjoy town meeting. Oh, if any of the foreign exchange students, if you happen to see Stephanie Flavin, would you send her this way? Is Pam Reeser, our state senator, in the hall? Okay. This is the gavel that's been used at town meeting for a lot of years. It's really very pretty, and I don't want to use it too often because it has some beautiful pieces of wood in it, and it's made from 40 different pieces of wood. And so I'm going to use this old one of mine functionally. I'd just like to read you a little bit about this gavel. We also, by the way, use, instead of banging on the lectern, we bang on this piece of wood that was given to Frank Sherman. Some of you may remember, was the moderator about 25 years ago by his son. About the gavel. This newspaper article dated July 29th, 1903, entitled Exercises at Historic First Parish Church, where a historic gavel will be presented. This is from a dispatch from the Boston Herald. In accents loud and clear, the bell on the old First Parish Church at Sudbury told the people at sunrise this morning of the coming of the principal days of the observance of Old Home Week in Sudbury. A very pleasant feature was the presentation of a memorial and historical gavel and case, which were made especially for this occasion by Reuben Reed of Acton. The gavel is to be kept for use at future town meetings as well as important gatherings of any kind. The gavel presented was made up from 40 different pieces of wood, some of these being taken from the old Walker Garrison House at Sudbury and from the Wayside Inn of Longfellow. It was the design of the maker of the gavel to have it represent the history of the country from the landing of the pilgrims to the present time, and wood from warships, dwellings, and trees of historic value figured into it. Probably can't see this too well, but let me describe it to you. It is a plaque inscribed Thomas G. Dignan, Jr., Sudbury Town Moderator, 1985 to 2003. And the picture is of Tom standing at the lectern, pointing towards the picture on the view graph, which is about Article 49, Amend Zoning Bylaw, Signs and Advertising Devices, Move to Reconsider. And I think Tom is saying we don't do that very often here in Sudbury. On a more personal note, I'd like to read something into the record. Tom graduated from Yale University undergrad and then went to University of Michigan Law School. He moved to Sudbury in 1979 with his wife Mary Ann and two daughters, Kelly Ann and Mary Claire. From the start, he had an avid interest in his community and always attended town meeting. His active involvement with the town began in 1982 with his appointment to the Finance Committee, where he served with distinction until 1985 when he was elected town moderator. Tom recently resigned from Ropes and Gray, one of the oldest and most prestigious law firms in the country, after a 36-year distinguished legal career. This allows him to spend more time with his family, friends, traveling back and forth to Florida, and as some of you may know, golfing. We all watched Tom as Mr. Moderator for 19 years. We were privileged to see his wit, wisdom, and wise counsel for every one of those 19 years. These are the same four words, wit, wisdom, and wise counsel, which is actually five words, that Tom used to describe his predecessor, Owen Todd. Tom always did everything in his power to make sure that everyone was treated fairly and that both sides of each issue had equal time. He was a terrific role model for me. I know I have very large shoes to fill. I hope to emulate Tom with one very significant exception. You will no longer be hearing the University of Michigan basketball scores any longer. I would also no clapping. I'd like to recognize Selectman O'Brien for a resolution in memory of those citizens who have served the town and passed away during this past year.
Thank you, Mr. Moderator. Resolution, whereas the town of Sudbury has enjoyed the blessing of those in the community who gave of their time and talent to enrich the quality of life in our town. And whereas the past year has seen several of its citizens and employees who have rendered public service and civic duty pass from among us. Now therefore be it resolved that the town extend its heartfelt sympathy to the families of these persons and recognize their service and dedication to the community. Hope Baldwin, Matthew Bardsley, Ann Bigelow, Henry Chardonnay, Ann Claff, Ann Dandro, Phyllis Gavigan, Jean Griffin, Gerd Herberer, David Palmer, Dr. Norman Rasmussen, Sandy Segan, Ann Spinelli. And be it further resolved that the town of Sudbury, when town meeting assembled, record for posterity in the minutes of this meeting its recognition and appreciation for their contributions to our community. 2004 annual town meeting.
Thank you. I'd now like to review with you some of our procedural matters in town meeting, particularly for the newcomers. I hope everyone has had a chance to review the warrant and familiarize himself or herself with the summary of basic town meeting procedures in the beginning of the warrant on pages Roman numeral small 1, small 2. Again, if you've forgotten to bring your warrant or you require an extra one, there are some on the outside tables just outside those doors. As you know, there's no smoking in the hall. And also, you must turn off all cell phones unless your last name ends in MD and you're on call. Please remember when you come to the mics to speak, give your name and address each time in order to ensure a clear record. If you desire to be recognized, the best way is to approach one of the three microphones in the hall, one on each aisle and one out in front at the lectern. Again, in this way we can keep an audio tape of the proceedings. All motions of substance, and that includes not only the main motion, but also a motion to amend, should be delivered to myself and the town clerk, as well as Jan Silva at the ViewGraph, before making your presentation. As again, we must have a copy of that in order to preserve the record. Only registered voters of the town and non-resident town employees may speak without leave of the hall. Non-residents are required to sit in the last two rows to my left and to my right. I caution those of you who are here because of a special matter of concern not to bolt the halls as soon as we have voted on that matter. You will be showing your neighbors a courtesy by listening to their articles as they have listened to your article. I have appointed Larry Blacker, the assistant town moderator, for the 2004 annual town meeting. The reason why we appointed him was so that while all of us were in here, he'd have to be in the gym, so he wouldn't get a chance to speak. Actually, we're going to ask him to come in a few minutes, or maybe in about a half hour, because this hall isn't filled, so I imagine we don't have too many people in the gym. Larry is a distinguished member of the bar. He's a recognized expert on tax-free exchanges. He was a former selectman for 6 years, a former member of the Board of Health for 3 years, and assuming that we do require the use of the gymnasium, he and I will be communicating via walkie-talkie. Please be reminded that if you present or you speak on an article, our bylaw is very clear. It's not a rule that I made up. It's a bylaw that this town meeting passed some years ago. Presenters will speak only for a total of 10 minutes. Speakers who aren't doing presentations but wish to speak on an issue speak for a total of 5 minutes. If there are 5 members of the board, they don't each have 5 minutes. They have a total of 5 minutes. So please plan accordingly, because my wife was kind enough to buy this timer for me, and we'll be setting it, and when it rings, your time is up. It is not often that the town wishes to grant leave of the hall to continue. If that happens, I will ask how much longer you wish to speak, if given permission, and then we'll ask for a consensus in the hall. Again, unless you move in the words of the article as printed in the warrant, every presenter must tell the hall of any word changes between the motion they're about to make and the words as they appear in the warrant, and how those differ exactly from what appears in the warrant. Presenters should keep in mind that the only thing that the voters have in front of them are the warrant articles, and have looked them over and know what they say. So if you are doing something different than what's in the warrant, please explain exactly how. Also, if you wish to vote on Article 2, the senior tax article, and you are at home watching these proceedings on cable TV, I strongly suggest you leave now, so you have adequate time to find a parking space. If the Ellis parking lot is full, you'll be parking at Sutherland or Nixon and taking a shuttle bus or walking. And when you get here, you have to go to the rear of the hall and get checked in. And if this hall is full, you'll be walking down to the library, all of which will take a significant amount of time. We don't want, and as some of you are aware, when it's time to take a vote, and we're going to take a standing head count with tellers counting, we will ask the police officers at the rear of the hall to close the doors. When those doors are closed, even if you just came in, you will not be permitted to come into the hall and vote. The reason for that is because we have to have an accurate count. And if people are walking in out of the halls, we will not be able to get an accurate count. So again, if you'd like to vote on Article 2 and you're at home, I strongly suggest, if you wish to vote, to leave now. Historically, we've not allowed any hissing or booing for or against speakers, or before, during, or after presentations. So the new part of that rule is there will be no clapping. So no indications, please, that you're in favor of an article or you're opposed to an article until it comes time to vote. Because unless your name is Tom Brady, there'll be no audibles in the auditorium. My job as moderator is to ensure full and open discussion and fair play on each article. Your job as legislators is to ensure goodwill and respect for differing viewpoints. I recognize Chairman of the Board of Selectmen, Kirsten Rupinian, for a State of the Town address.
Good evening. My name is Kirsten Rupinian, and I welcome you all to this year's town meeting. Mr. Moderator, fellow members of the boards and committees, professional staff, and citizens, thank you all for joining us at Sudbury's annual town meeting. This is the oldest form of government in the United States of America. As we gather here this evening and next week, I would ask that we remember that there are men and women embroiled in conflict, risking and losing lives to protect our inalienable right for democracy. This town meeting is our small part in protecting that notion. We all have learned that freedom is not free. The price that they are paying is so that we may continue to have these meetings and to speak freely. On behalf of the town, I honor them and thank them and wish them Godspeed in their missions. We won't forget. Speaking on behalf of the Board of Selectmen and Town Manager, it is truly an honor to serve this community. It is with pride that I address this meeting and ask that you, the distinguished citizens of Sudbury, consider the articles brought before you tonight. These articles represent the culmination of work that has taken place over the past year. The boards and committees of the town have examined these articles, discussed the merits, costs, consequences, and potential impact on the town as a whole. That is the task that your elected officials on every level must take. The responsibility for action lies within the voting of town meeting. It is the obligation of the citizen to ascertain which of these articles you approve of, as well as those you feel need further scrutiny and do not support. The Board of Selectmen has followed a process for bringing our articles forward, where we try to allow the time and structure for a thorough examination of the issues and development of recommendations to occur. An example of that process would be Article 2, brought to you through the hard work of the Property Tax Equity Review Committee. Many of the members of this committee had never previously participated actively in our government. Some had. They came to this new committee with an open mind and zeal to help the town work on a very difficult issue, following the mission established by the Board of Selectmen. For the last 6 months, they have been gathering information, discussing their findings, proposing and evaluating alternative courses of action, debating and finalizing the product that you will see presented here at this town meeting. During this time, members grew to appreciate how important it is to have an issue thoroughly researched, discussed, and debated, and to seek opinions of a wide variety of entities before arriving at conclusions. Many times during their tenure on the committee, they sought input from the Board of Selectmen and experts in various areas. This demonstrated their concern with having as much solid information as possible before finalizing a proposal for town meeting. And as Abraham Lincoln said, "Think calmly and well. Nothing valuable can be lost by taking time." This committee did just that. And I congratulate them for the integrity of their process as well as the quality of their proposal. The board has tried to ensure that all the articles we bring forth are timely and consistent with the goals that we have established for town action. We've listed our goals and objectives in the town report, and I will list them here for you again. I don't have an overhead, I apologize. Ensure that the FY 05 and 06 budget planning process and outcomes protect the town's fiscal health and core municipal and educational services. Evaluate and determine actions based on the PTURC report to the Board of Selectmen. Create a capacity to ensure progress is made on a Route 20 master plan and related projects that contribute to economic sustainability of the Route 20 business district. Develop a multi-year plan to implement the master facilities study. Create a new process to respond to, evaluate, and make recommendations for traffic improvements based on requests from Sudbury residents. The articles the board has voted to support and bring forward are in keeping with these goals. There are other articles brought by citizen petition for consideration by town meeting. The Board of Selectmen have listened to all the article petitioners and made a decision to either support or not to support an article. Our primary basis for a decision to do so is from hours, and I mean hours, of listening and discussing the host of issues the town faces and whether an article is in the best interest of the town as a whole. But the great thing about town meeting is that you, the citizens, decide in the end. In summary, town boards, committees, and citizen petitioners are asking for town meeting action on a wide variety of issues. You're being asked to decide on articles pertaining to the environment, the budget, our business community, recreational opportunities, tax relief for needy seniors and the disabled, and protecting our municipal assets, amongst others. We ask you to listen to the presenters carefully and study the information in your warrant. If you have questions regarding the article being presented, you are further encouraged to ask for more information. The Board of Selectmen has included its position on the majority of articles. You are encouraged to ask about our thoughts and other board positions in order to feel comfortable with your decisions. We appreciate your attendance and look forward to a productive town meeting. And finally, I would like to thank you all for allowing me the privilege to serve the community for the past 6 years. I have learned so much. I have listened to people share their ideas and experiences and their issues. Their points of view have been invaluable to me as a selectman and as a person. I have enjoyed the challenge this position brought, even when times were difficult. I believe in this community, I appreciate this community, and I have come to respect the diverse opinions we consider at these town meetings. I firmly believe that what we do today, how we conduct ourselves as a community, will be our legacy for the future. I would like to thank my colleagues on all the other boards and committees. They have proven that dialogue and working as a team is preferential and far more productive than working in a vacuum. The individuals who help shape the town work very hard, without pay, believe me, and for the greater good. These people deserve our attention and our consideration. Further, I challenge those with a negative outlook, especially the Monday morning quarterbacks. If you don't like the way things are, get involved, change things, dare to make a difference. Make it your business to ensure that our legacy is one of forward thinking, of caring, of action, intelligence, and constructive solutions that you citizens in Sudbury are all capable of. Let our message to the new generations be one that has their interests in mind, as well as our own. Dwight Eisenhower once said, as we peer into our future, we must avoid the impulse to live only for today, plundering for our own ease and convenience the precious resources of tomorrow. We cannot mortgage the assets of our grandchildren without risking the loss of their political and spiritual heritage. Let these words serve as a guide for us tonight. I want to thank my fellow board members, select board members, who have been a pleasure to work with. Larry O'Brien, thank you for keeping me balanced. You are a hard worker and have enjoyed our time together on the board. We didn't get paid much, but we sure had fun. We stayed focused and kept each other on our toes. John, you are truly an inspiration. John is the standard bearer for fairness and integrity. You are truly, truly one of the great ones. You make everyone around you better. Maureen Valente, you are one of the finest managers in municipal government today. You have established by your leadership and integrity an exemplary, professional, ethical organization. I thank you for your countless hours working to ensure that our community is safe and sound. That is her legacy. And to the town, once again, I thank you. I'll be sitting out there with you guys next year, and I'd like somebody to save me a seat, preferably next to a microphone. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Kirsten. I understand that the Finance Committee will wait until Article 4 on the budget to make its statement. Yes? Thank you. And I would like to just ask one more time if Stephanie Slavin has returned to the hall.
No.
Kirsten, you're doing such a great job. I'm going to ask you to lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. For many years, it has been a tradition at the annual town meeting to honor one of our citizens who has performed valuable service for the town by asking him or her to make the motion under Article 1 of the warrant. This year, as it may come as a great shock to you, we honor the chair of the Board of Selectmen, Kirsten Rupenia. Kirsten moved with her family to Sudbury in February of 1992 and immediately became involved in community affairs. Her first issue involved a serious split in philosophy concerning the opening of a new school. Kirsten brought various groups together to form a consensus on what each side wanted and worked with others to successfully open the Nixon School. She has been a member of SURF since 1994, served as vice president, and initiated and participated in many of their fundraisers, including the Dream Team softball fundraiser, golf tournament, and spelling bees. Further, she has participated as a member of the Noyes School Council and PTO as fundraising coordinator. Kirsten has directed her leadership and consensus-building skills well beyond educational issues. She became involved in working towards passage of the Town Manager Act and again brought the issue to public debate, consensus, and finally passage. She actively sought passage of the land bank legislation at town meeting and the state legislature, which ultimately became the Community Preservation Act, and she advocated for the purchase of the Meacham land. Kirsten has also vigorously pursued legislation on behalf of Sudbury regarding school funding, land issues, and infrastructure concerns. Kirsten has served on many boards, committees, and community organizations. Strategic Planning Committee member since 1996 until it was dissolved in 2002. Ex officio member of the Economic Development Committee as a representative of the Board of Selectmen 1999 to present. Board of Selectmen representative to the Community Preservation Committee from 2002 to the present. Since 2001, a member and president of Hope Sudbury, the new community humanitarian-focused group founded in the days after September 11th to aid those in need. Member of the Executive Board of the September 11th Memorial Garden Committee from 2002 to the present. An ex-officio member of the Property Tax Equity Review Committee since 2003. And, of course, a conscientious representative of the Board of Selectmen to the Metro West Growth Management Committee. Last but not least, Kirsten has served diligently and enthusiastically as a member and or chair of the Board of Selectmen for 6 years. Her focus has consistently been on developing strategies based on setting goals, long-range planning, and building consensus. Before immersing herself in community volunteerism, Kirsten had a career in the high-tech industry at IBM and Lotus Development. She's a 1979 graduate of Boston College, where she met and married her husband, Mark. Kirsten's first priority is family, and she and Mark have three children: Benjamin, age 17, a junior at St. John's High School; Nicholas, 14, a freshman at LS; and Alexa, 13, a seventh grader at Curtis Middle School. It is my privilege to recognize the chair of the Sudbury Board of Selectmen, Kirsten Rupenian, for the motion under Article 1 of this year's annual town meeting.
Thank you, Mr. Moderator. If I could just take the leave of the hall for one moment. I did not fail to thank my family while we were doing the State of the Town Address. I decided to save it for now. I don't know if there are members of my family here. I can't see them. Oh, there he is. There's so many people here who I've met over the course of the last 6 years who had no idea that I actually had a husband. He's sort of a mythical figure. And I just, Mark, could you stand up? Because people know he won't stand up. Okay. I didn't think so. But I would like to thank every member of my family. My absences and my tardiness, they took it very well. They've been great sports, and I love them all, and thank you. Okay. Article 1 here reports, move to accept the reports of the town boards, commissions, officers, and committees as printed in the 2003 town report or as otherwise presented, subject to the correction of errors, if any, where found.
Is there a second? All those in favor, please raise your cards. All those opposed, passes unanimously.
Uh-oh. Uh-oh. Oh, my Lord.
Officer, can you... No.
I didn't do it.
Kristen, on behalf of Larry, myself, and Maureen, we want to thank you for many wonderful Monday and Tuesday evenings. And as a memento of that occasion, Mark, you can use this on her.
So kids.
Give you a gavel. I really a distinct pleasure serving with you. And I think, au contraire, you've made me a better person as a selectman than me making you a better person. So I really appreciate working with you. And I know that you'll be out here. And the citizens of Sudbury should know that this woman has an incredible amount of energy, and she's always going, and she's working for the entire community. And I couldn't think of a better person like to serve us. So, again, thank you for your service. And I know you're not going away.
Thank you.
We hope you enjoy these. I'm not going to try and add anything. Energy, compassion, passion. We have had many fun nights. Wednesday mornings, Thursday mornings, all sorts of stuff. But we have enjoyed our time. We look forward to you continuing to serve from that side of the aisle. Now that you know the ins and outs, we hope that you take it easy on us. So thank
not
you, and we look forward to seeing you on that side next year. So
thank you.
All right. You're welcome. Enjoy.
Thank you.
Finally, just to add a few words, is Senator Reeser here? Has she arrived yet? I have two citations for Kirsten on behalf of our elected officials. One is from Representative Susan Pope, signed by Representative Speaker of the House Thomas Finneran, noting her many years of service and acknowledgement from the House. Senator Reeser told us she was also going to bring one from the Senate, again, as appreciation for all the work as Kirsten has done. Speaking as the town manager who has to work, this is the finest Board of Selectmen there. Don't say that because they're my boss. I say it because it's true. And Kirsten has just worked tremendously hard to try to make sure that everything is balanced and open and fair and well discussed. She never comes to a meeting with an agenda, her mind already made up. She's absolutely phenomenal in really listening, really digging for the right information and trying to help the board and the town be a better place by the decisions the board has to make. So from both myself and Representative Pope and Senator Reeser and Senator Fargo, I'd like to give these to you and thank you again.
Thank you all. We're going to move on to the consent calendar. Pages Roman numeral 3 and 4 in your warrant. Just to remind everybody, I will call out the numbers of the articles one by one. If any voter has doubt about passing... Yes.
Mr. Moderator, James Gardner, Longfellow Road. It's been traditional at town meeting in the past to accept questions, have the moderator accept questions on the procedure before proceeding past this point. Is that going to be on schedule this evening, sir?
You're asking for about the consent calendar or anything in town meeting?
Procedures for town meeting.
Sure. Why don't you go ahead? Do you have a question?
I have approximately 3.
Go ahead.
They're mostly related.
One at a time.
I was hoping you could explain to the town hall the procedure by which votes are taken and counted.
the same way they've been taken and counted for the 35 years that I've been living in town. And the way that happens is I will call for a vote by cards. I will ask all those in favor of the question to raise their cards. Then I will ask all those opposed to raise the cards. If it is clear from my standpoint, then I will call it that way. If it is not clear, then I will ask for a standing head count. We have 6 tellers sitting in front here. There will be 2 tellers for each section. They will go row by row, and each of them will confirm with the other the number of people voting for, and later the number of people voting against each article. They will then bring those numbers to me. I will add them up and announce the vote.
The follow-on question to that is there a method for a citizen to request the counted vote?
A citizen to request the counted vote? Yes, there is. 7 voters can challenge my call of the question just from view, and then we'll go into the second part of it, which is the head count.
So just to understand this, the only time for a member of the hall to request a counted vote is after the vote has been taken by issuing a challenge. There's no method for a request before the vote to just go ahead and count it.
No, not at this town meeting.
Thank you. And the third question, which is a curiosity, is I notice your marvelous new timing technology. I'm just wondering how well it's been calibrated, sir.
Actually, that's a great question, because when my wife brought it home, for the next hour and a half, I kept using it, and she kept screaming at me that it works. And I timed it against a watch that I believe is to be accurate. But if it's inaccurate, it'll be inaccurate for everyone.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. And those are good questions. And I was remiss. Does anybody, either newcomers or folks who've been here for a while, have any questions about how we're going to run town meeting? I would be glad to answer them now before we get into the consent calendar. Okay. Consent calendar, pages 3 and 4 of the warrant, Roman numeral 3 and 4. I will call out the numbers of the articles one by one. If any voter has doubt about passing any motion or wishes an explanation of any subject in the consent calendar, the voter should stand in place and say the word hold very loudly, clearly, when that number is called. I will then inquire of that voter whether the request to hold is for a question or is it for debate. If it's for debate, we will remove it, that article, from the consent calendar. If the purpose of the request was merely to ask a question, an attempt will be made by myself to obtain a satisfactory answer. And if that occurs, the article will remain on the consent calendar, absent any further request to hold it. Again, if the purpose of the request was to hold the article for debate, the article will be removed from the consent calendar, and it will be restored to its original place, whatever article number it has. And it will be debated and voted in the usual way. No voter should hesitate to exercise the right to remove matters from the consent calendar. It is the view of the voters as to the need for debate that counts. That reigns supreme, not town officials who put together the consent calendar. Having said that, it is hoped that voters will remove articles from the consent calendar only in cases of genuine concern. In past years, it has occasionally occurred that articles were removed from the consent calendar, and when reached in the normal course, they were passed unanimously without debate, thus indicating that the initial removal request was perhaps not fully thought out before being exercised. So I will go through the consent calendar article by article. I will just, again, if you look at pages Roman numeral 3 and 4 in your warrant, I'm not going to read each article. I'm only going to read the article number of the consent calendar. Feel free, if you wish to hold, to stand and say loudly, hold. And then after that's done, all the articles remaining on the consent calendar, we'll have a motion to consider them together, and we'll have a second motion to ask the hall to pass them unanimously. Before we start, we have one typographical error in the warrant that I would like to correct. It is Article 44. It is on page, I think it's on page 31 of the warrant.
Yes.
If you're all looking at and wish to make the correction, there is a category called income limits in the left margin, and in the far right margin, which is labeled allowable but not less than, it currently reads married $59,900 and I believe $69. That should be changed. It's a typographical error, and you should change it to $31,074. With that in mind, I'm going to go over the consent calendar item by item. Article 29. Article 30. 31. Is it for debate or a question? Okay. Article 32. Article 33. 34. Article 35. Article 36. Article 37. Article 38. Article 39. Article 40. Article 41. Am I correct that the selectmen are holding Article 42?
Yes.
And that's for debate, I take it?
Yes.
Article 42 is being removed, as is Article 31. Article 43.
All 48.
Excuse me?
All 48.
Thank you. And Article 44.
All 48.
So I have the consent being removed from the consent calendar is Article 31, 42, 43, and 44. Is there a motion to take Articles 29, 30, 32, 33, 34, 35, 36, 37, 38, 39, 40, and 41 out of order and consider them together at this time? Is there a second? All those in favor, please raise your cards. All those opposed? I see no one opposed. It's unanimous. Is there a motion, in the words of the consent calendar motions as printed in the warrant, except for the typographical error that I've stated in Article 44, for Articles 29, 30, 32, 33, 34, 35, 36, 37, 38, 39, 40, and 41? Is there a motion? Is there a second? All those in favor, please raise your cards. All those opposed? It's unanimous. Thank you very much. Was Article 2 on the consent calendar? Article 2. The Property Tax Equity Review Committee, known as PTERC, will be making the motion.
My name is Joe Meeks at 136 Aiken Road here in Sudbury. And for Article 2, move to petition the General Court of the Commonwealth of Massachusetts to enact special legislation to provide that the assessors of Sudbury shall use a property tax relief program in general according to the provisions set forth under Article 2 in the warrant for this meeting. Said legislation not to take effect unless approved by a majority vote in a regular, not a special, town or state election. Is there a second?
Is there a second? You don't want 10 minutes?
I absolutely do want 10 minutes. I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
My name's Joe Meeks, and I'm going to start with a couple quick words just to kind of set the stage. My colleague Basil is going to come up and go into the details of Article 2. So the first slide, please. Okay, living in Sudbury, something I think most of us here will agree, very high quality of life here, lots of it because of the kinds of investments we've been making in education, town infrastructure, and in open space. Next slide. Last year, which I think was the last thing I remember from town meeting last year, was Article 54. And the one thing that I'll give Article 54 credit for is that I think what it made us think about is that in all the work and investment we've been doing making this a great place to live, the question Article 54 asked that I think was a very worthwhile question was, have we gotten property taxes now to the point where they've reached a level where it places an unreasonable burden on some seniors? Next slide, please. So there's obviously a lot of emotion last year. The Board of Selectmen, I think, stood back for a moment of cool reflection after the meeting and agreed that the issue of the tax burden was an important issue and that there were very diverse opinions in town and that there was a desire to both increase the knowledge and the understanding of the various dimensions of this issue. And given the acrimony, I think, that existed in the last town meeting, I think there was a desire for a preference to build consensus and agreement on what the problems were and what the right things were to do. Next slide, please. So they formed PTURC. I'm just going to use the acronym because the full name's a mouthful. But by design, it was a large committee, 23 peoples, 23 different residents, all different ages from all different parts of town, all different walks of life on all different sides of this issue. Next slide, please. So we embarked upon an extensive effort that lasted over 6 months. And the key thing is it was an open and public process, and it had a lot of those other things in it that Kristen was so nice to cover for me, buy me some time. Next slide, please. So PTURC then and now. When we started, it was truly a reflection of the emotions that existed here coming out of town meeting. The first meeting we had, 23 people, I was as angry, I think, in that meeting as I was at the end of the town meeting here. Okay? By design, having 23 people, we thought if we could drive some kind of consensus, 23 people in that meeting could do it, that we'd have some hope of doing it here in the town as well. Where we're at today, and where Basil's going to go into the detail of this article, if you can come on up, Basil, please, is near unanimous support for the PTURC proposal and for the findings of the committee that are the basis of what Basil's going to propose. I don't know if you remember Ralph Tyler and I standing up here that diametrically opposed the different sides of this issue. And at the end of this process here, we are 100% in agreement and committed to Article 2 and the idea that this is a good thing for this town. So thank you, Basil.
Thank you, Joe. My name is Basil Pallone. I live at 112 Thunder Road. I've been a resident of Sudbury for about 11 years now. The PTURC committee was 23 volunteers with a lot of different diverse views, and after extensive research and debate amongst our findings, we came to a unanimous conclusion on an almost unanimous conclusion on our recommendation and report. There was one area, though, where I think it's fair to say that we did reach a unanimous conclusion, and that was there are a number of senior citizens in Sudbury who have been adversely impacted by the rising property tax rates. What you can see on this chart is that since 1998, property taxes have increased by 53%. We've made a decision in this hall to fund schools, to fund open space, to fund our town infrastructure. And this has come at a price and a burden for some of our senior citizens, not all of them, but many of them. I want to spend a few minutes tonight talking about some of the findings that we drew and the support for the proposal. A couple of other points that I'd like to make as well before moving on. What we did find is that the property revaluation that we're all starting to experience, that's going to impact the seniors who have been most affected by the property tax increases over the past year. And we'll also see that some of the existing programs, in fact, most of the existing programs in the state, are just inadequate for Sudbury to address the needs of many of our senior citizens. Next chart, please. The best place to start, I think, is household income. What you'll see in this chart on the left is the average household income for residents in Sudbury under 65. And it's very compelling that the average income of the younger families is almost twice that of the senior families. The average income for the younger families is about $180,000. The average income for households for seniors 65 and over is $90,000. Now, I want to point out that the PTURC proposal is not geared for every one of those seniors. As you can tell by the arrow, we're rarely targeting to benefit those seniors who are at the lower two-thirds, roughly, of that income scale. One of the things we found is that 35% of the senior households are spending more than 20% of their income on homeowner costs. These are findings from the U.S. Census, and those homeowner costs represent taxes, mortgages, utilities, insurance, and those things of that nature. We also found that 17% of the senior households are spending more than 35% on homeowner costs. Next slide, please. The situation is particularly worse for those seniors age 75 and over. The two charts here look at median household income for senior citizens on the left and also homeowner costs as a percent of income for senior citizens. Looking at the chart on the left, the median household income, you'll see that for senior citizens age 75 and over, their median income is substantially less than the median income for seniors 65 to 74. The median income for those seniors aged 75 and over, we found, was about $27,000. We also found that that same age group was spending twice as much of their income on homeowner costs, taxes, insurance, mortgages, and so forth. Next slide, please. Just a brief minute about where our seniors are living. Many of our senior citizens have been in town for well over 20 years. In fact, 84% have called Sudbury home for at least 20 years, and over 50% have been in town since 1970. What that means is that the seniors are not living in the mansions in town, the newer homes. They're living in the older, smaller homes. These are the homes that are most likely to be affected and will be affected by the property revaluation. Clearly, 60% of the seniors in town are living at homes assessed at less than $400,000. That compares to 42% for all residents. Only 7% of the senior households are living in homes assessed at over $600,000. Next slide, please. A brief word about existing property tax relief programs. What you'll see in this chart on the far right column is the average tax burden in the town of Sudbury. It's almost $8,000, and immediately to the left is the average tax burden for senior citizens, about $6,500. The smaller bars starting from the far right, the far left, going over to the right, those are existing programs in the state. They don't provide adequate relief in town, and in fact, many of them, because of the constraints of income and assets, limit the participation by seniors in those programs. The PTURC proposal, which you see here as well, will provide up to $2,000 of benefit for senior citizens. So clearly, there's still a gap between the benefit provided by Article 2 and the average senior property tax. Next slide, please. Real quickly, Article 2 is a compromise. We felt it was necessary, after much debate, to try to provide as much relief as possible. We didn't have enough resources. We didn't believe there was enough resources in the town to provide relief to everybody, so we focused mainly on low to moderate income seniors. It will be funded by a 2% property tax surcharge. And one point that I want to stress on this chart as well is that even the affluent seniors will be contributing to the surcharge and to the fund. Next slide, please. As I mentioned, it's funded by a 2% surcharge. The impact on us, about $160 per year for the average household. 80% will spend less than $200 per year. The surcharge will raise about $900,000, we estimate. Based on some of the analysis that we've done, we think the program benefits maybe in the $600,000 to $900,000 range. We thought it was best to fund it at the higher end with the proviso that any extra funds be carried over to subsequent years to fund the program and reduce the surcharge. The surcharge will never exceed 2% of property taxes. Next slide, please. A quick word on the benefits. The maximum benefit is 25% of the average household income, which in 2003 would have been about $2,000. We'll never reduce the property tax burden to less than 10% of income. And if necessary, the benefits will be prorated to ensure that we never exceed the 2% surcharge. I have two slides left, if I could continue, and I'll be done.
And are you the last speaker?
I guess I am. Yes. Okay.
Yeah, the consent of the hall, all in favor? Thank you.
Thank you. I'll be brief. This second to the last slide is the eligibility criteria, age 65 and over. We also included those few individuals on long-term disability. The income threshold is $64,000 or less, same as the CPA. You must be a resident of Sudbury for at least 5 years, and the average assessed value, your assessed value cannot exceed 125% of the town average. Next and last slide, please. This slide here gives an example of the benefits and lack of benefits for seniors. It shows the impact of income on the benefit program. The first column shows household income of $30,000 and a property tax of $5,250. For a senior citizen in that category, their benefit would be capped at $2,000. As we move to the right, and as income increases, you'll see that the benefit actually declines for the higher income. And at some point, no benefit would be provided. In this example, for a household earning $60,000 and a property tax bill of 10%, there would be no benefit provided. Thank you.
Thank you. A minority report from the PTERC committee. I've been requested to have a minority report from Stephen Wishner. What's that?
Yes, we do.
Do we have consent of the hall for him to speak? All those in favor, please raise your cards. All those opposed?
Five, yes. And Steve, you will announce what the vote split is.
Well, let me. Fine. Whenever there's a minority report given by a board or committee, I will ask, if I remember to ask, I will ask what the split is, those in favor and those opposed. Do we have such a number? 21 in favor, 2 opposed. This is the minority report.
Hi. Can you hear me okay on this?
Good.
No? Is it on?
A little closer, Steve.
A little closer? I feel like I'm going to swallow it. Hi. For those of you who may know me, I'm Steve Wishner. I live on Fox Run in Sudbury and have for 17 years. I've been active in town affairs for much of that time, including having served on the Finance Committee for 5 years, and most recently on PTERC, which I must say, despite the fact that I feel compelled to give a minority report this evening, I could not admire the work that was done by PTERC any more than I do. They did a phenomenal job. It was a very dedicated and hardworking group of people, and I'm very proud to have been part of what went on in that process. While I am personally in favor of tax equity in general and tax relief for seniors in need specifically, I am not planning on trying to debate tonight the specific aspects of Article 2 as might regards who should receive benefits, how much they should receive, who has to pay more, how much they should pay, etc. My primary concern tonight is to speak before you as a member of PTERC who is disappointed to have to oppose passage of Article 2 and urge its defeat this evening, because I believe the article has some important structural flaws that I feel should be addressed. I had every hope of being able to support the article. Unfortunately, I believe the proposal, because it is seriously flawed, needs to be corrected in order to address what is commonly referred to as a sunset provision, and in addition, I believe it does not adequately incorporate a mechanism for review by future town meetings in future years. None of us on PTERC are pros at engineering social policy, and thus I believe strongly that the town should engage in a periodic review of this self-engineered social policy with some degree of regularity, perhaps every 3 to 5 years. I believe the town meeting is the appropriate venue for that review, and the town must be afforded the opportunity to review, consider, and change the features of this proposed policy as the town's needs, demographics, desires change and evolve over time. PTERC attempted to draw selectively upon features for this article from several pieces of existing legislation in an effort to craft a proposal that would seem familiar to legislators. Why? Because it is the legislators who ultimately must approve the home rule petition that this article will require. This mixing and matching of features includes the various qualification criteria for receipt of benefits, as well as the benefit calculations themselves. One could argue that this makes a good deal of sense relative to the issue of trying to increase the likelihood of sympathetic review at the legislative level. However, we can only guess and really do not know how the pieces we decided to pick and choose will effectively interact with one another. My concerns are compounded by the fact that PTERC crafted its proposal for this article without the benefit of critical data that it needed. Despite extensive efforts to access the best data available, certain key data simply did not exist. As a result, we were, and still are, unable to correlate household income with specific household valuations and property levels, or property tax levels. As a result, therefore, we are also unable to accurately quantify the expected number of senior households that will meet the qualification criteria, and we cannot accurately predict usage of the program or its expected costs. We were forced to rely on educated guesswork in putting this together. Did we get it right? I honestly do not know, and neither does anyone else. In fact, the only way we will know how close we came is to look back at the program through the perspective of 2020 hindsight at some point in the future. To a large degree, we were shooting in the dark due to the lack of critical data. What if we got it seriously wrong? This article, in creating new social policy within the town, that is, taking from some in order to give more to others, does so with no history to look back on to stress test the structure we have proposed. The issues being tackled here are incredibly complex, with many variables at play. To assume that we got it exactly right on the first try is folly. It is highly likely that something will not have been adequately thought through or will have unintended consequences, resulting in the process not working as we had planned. We only have to look as far as the very recent contentiousness regarding the confidentiality of our senior survey responses to see how a well-intended effort can be quickly undermined by details that have not been adequately tested. In fact, and here's the crux of the problem, I am convinced that the test of time will expose some mechanical or conceptual flaws in the structure of the program we have developed, and there is no adequate process included in the article for the town to perform an ongoing review of the structure to ensure its functional integrity, nor is there any end date by which a flawed program would terminate of its own accord. As structured, the program will continue forever, as is. Other programs that have been approved by the town have an end date after which the town must vote to continue the program. The CPA is but one example of this. The town approved the CPA for a specific period of time, after which it must be repassed by town meeting to continue. Not this article. As constituted, the increased tax assessment in Article 2 continues forever, unless a future town meeting can be mustered to defeat it. That is just wrong. It's backwards, and it's poor social policy. Were we that afraid that future town meetings might disagree with what we've done here tonight, that we had to make it as hard as possible to change or rescind this structure down the road to correct problems? That's the wrong way to do things. If we are going to do the right thing, and if we are lucky enough to have constructed an article well, despite the lack of detail on which it is built, the article we eventually pass should have no problem standing up to scrutiny under the light of day. It should not be a structure kept in the shadows so that it is never again afforded the appropriate level of ongoing review and scrutiny that such social policy should have, especially since, in this case, we are only guessing at its costs and its effectiveness. In the absence of such a feature, I must urge its defeat until we can come up with a more appropriate structure. Thank you.
Recognize Selectman O'Brien for the Board of Selectmen.
Thank you, Mr. Moderator. Larry O'Brien for the Board of Selectmen. The next portion of the presentation I will take up in just a second, but for those of you that are mulling over the comments of Mr. Wishner, you may want to take a look at page 3 of your warrant, section 14 of the article. There was consideration given by the Board of Selectmen to the issue of continuation of the program, and also item 15 in the article, review of the program. While they are not necessarily in line and in concept with the way that Mr. Wishner would like to see the review process and continuation process take place, we do feel that we addressed it in a form that was adequate and would allow for voice to be given to review and changes when necessary. On frequently asked questions that various people have come up with in some of the public hearings, some of the dialogue in the supermarkets, town dump, park and rec locations, etc., whose dialogue is almost continuous, I've been asked to address some of those. And why are Article 2, just make sure we're coordinating here, benefits restricted to seniors? First off, the feeling was that it would provide a meaningful benefit to those who would receive relief. Approximately 50% of the household, as was detailed before, who would qualify for relief would still be paying more than 10% of income and property tax after receiving benefits from Article 2. Seniors clearly have less opportunities to increase income in response to increasing expenses, be it related directly to their home or to other expenses of life as a senior. And, of course, both the state and the town have recognized, past and present, that seniors represent a group deserving of tax relief. Next slide, please. Why are so few seniors using tax deferral program? And those of you that may recall, a few years ago, we had a home rule petition that modified the deferral program to liberalize it. It was found and decided by the committee that it is truly a financing option and not really a property, a form of property tax relief. There are a number of reasons why seniors in Sudbury and throughout the state choose not to participate in the program, but it was also determined that there is a lack of understanding as to how the program works. And an aspect of education will be implemented. The selectmen will be working with some members of the PTERC committee to move forward on making sure that seniors thoroughly understand what deferral is and how it works and how they might benefit from it.
What is your point of order? Excuse me? Mr. Tober, that's not a point of order. A point of order is if you have a procedural problem, if Mr. O'Brien's gone over his time, those are points of order, not if something you disagree. When he finishes, you'll have an opportunity to speak, and then you can tell how you disagree with him. Mr. O'Brien?
Thank you, Mr. Moderator. I trust you stopped and started your clock. I heard the buzzer. I'm petrified of it. Why is there no overall asset test needed to qualify for the benefits? Next slide, please. There we go. Thank you. We believe that it would be too difficult to administer and too intrusive to institute an overall asset test. Quite frankly, with the income level set at $65,000 and 125% of the average assessed value of a home, we don't believe, and all assets, all income being considered as part of the overall program, we don't think that there would be many people who would be trying to skirt this program and slide in under the radar. We feel that it would be extremely intrusive into people's lives and request a lot of information and make it very difficult for people to desire to participate in the program. Like the CPA, we're using home value as a reasonable proxy of total assets, and all income from assets, including tax-exempt income, will be considered. Next slide, please. This program is not intended to replace any other exemptions. Article 2 provides a circuit breaker, deferral, or work-off benefits will not be affected by receipt of any benefits under this Act. Article 2 provides that the town may vote to terminate this program if the town adopts a statewide program offering similar relief. Those of you that have been following the subject may know that there are various bills that are pending and moving along up on Beacon Hill. We're cognizant of that, and we will deal with that accordingly depending on what comes down from Beacon Hill. If anything comes out as a finished product. Next slide. What happens next? First, this body this evening must approve this article known as Article 2. That will then instruct the selectmen to send a home rule petition to the legislature. That must be approved by the Joint Committee on Taxation, the House, the Senate, and the Governor. And then we'll come back to Sudbury voters for another election so that there'll be a vetting at the polls. Next slide, please. The data that was collected, and it was extensive, I have the report up there. It's fairly substantial if you haven't seen it. The data clearly shows that there is a problem and there is a need. Article 2 is a measured response. It may not be the solution for everyone, but it does offer some relief. And there's a level of investment in line with other initiatives to support our community. That concludes my presentation. I would just like to take one moment, and although it's been said many times that this was an amazing committee, in my 9 years in town government, The only committee I can think of that was larger was the Strategic Planning Committee, and that was a group brought together to try and figure out what the direction the town should be heading in to ultimately write the master plan. This group, the selectmen were criticized. It was too big. It was too small. It was never going to be able to accomplish anything. And in addition to that, we gave this group a 2.5-page set of marching orders. We had members of this committee that were in town as few as 2 years, and members that were on the committee over 30 years. The age range was from 30 to 70 plus. The experience was vast, and the representation was quite diversified. This group came together. They broke themselves under their own accord into three subcommittees. They published a report that, if you have the time, it's extremely worth reading. It's very informative. And whether you agree with this article, don't agree with this article, and regardless of how you will vote when we get to that point this evening, I think we should all take a moment and thank the committee for endless hours that they put in over 6 months to generate this piece of quality work. Thank you, Mr. Moderator. I apologize for violating your rule.
Finance Committee, Tracy Billig will present the majority report recommending disapproval. Bob Jacobson, co-chair, with Tracy, will present the minority report recommending approval. And one of them will tell us what the split was.
Thank you, sir. The Finance Committee would like to acknowledge all the hard work, time, and effort the PTER Committee has expended on this important issue over the past year. The FinCom is extremely sensitive to the community's desire to keep town spending under control. With that in mind, we review the town budget and any proposed article from a financial impact standpoint. The FinCom's opinions are submitted for consideration by all citizens of the community, particularly those who may not have had the time to fully investigate the broad financial impacts of proposals. The FinCom fully supports programs that provide assistance to those less fortunate, regardless of age. We do, however, feel obligated to advise the community that this article could create a situation whereby financially wealthy people can shift some of their tax burden to others in the community. For example, the article enables Sudbury seniors who own multiple real estate properties and pay taxes to other communities or own other non-income producing investments to be released of a portion of their tax burden here in Sudbury. This is due to the omission of an asset test in order to qualify for this program. Asset tests are commonly included in the qualification requirements for other taxpayer-sponsored assistance programs. The committee believes that inclusion of an asset test will provide assurances to the town's taxpayers that their financial contributions are truly going to those most in need. After careful consideration and much deliberation, the FinCom, by majority vote, does not recommend approval of Article 2.
Good evening. I've been asked to express the opinions of the dissenting voters on the committee, who voted 3-5 in favor of this article's recommendation. We agree with those on the committee who voted against the article's recommendation that the article contains flaws. However, some of these flaws were also apparent as well to the members of the PTERC and the Board of Selectmen. The PTERC's recommendation and the article put forward by the Board of Selectmen is a compromise of the varying positions they held. While those of us on the FinCom who voted in favor of recommending this article would like to have seen some amendments made to some of its provisions, one of which would be to increase the residency duration from 5 years to 10 years in order to still capture the longer-term residents and not necessarily those who moved here during or after this recent period of real estate tax growth, the absence of these changes is not enough to dissuade us from supporting this article. Our support of this article is spurred by the need we perceive to provide aid and support to those in our community who are impacted the most by the town's level of property taxes. The exemption will be limited to the amount by which the participating taxpayer's tax bill exceeds 10% of total household income, shall not exceed 25% of the average residential tax bill for the prior period, and would be prorated downward if the total of all approved exemption amounts exceeds the surcharge fund. While there may be loopholes that could allow for exemptions being granted to some taxpayers we would not necessarily want to see benefit from this article, we perceive this number to be a very small few and would not purport to deny benefits to the many because it may provide benefits to an unintended few. While no one relishes paying more taxes, those of us who dissented in this vote did so because we felt the surcharge to be assessed by the adoption of this article is a reasonable price to pay to continue to maintain diversity in Sudbury and to help our seniors in the community who are finding it difficult to meet their property tax obligations. Thank you.
Okay, would anyone like to be heard in favor or opposed to the article? Please step up to the microphone.
I have a strong voice. May I remain seated? I do not have a strong body. May I sit down and shout at you?
Yes, if you can speak loudly, please.
Mr. Moderator, I move to postpone Article 2 until a time certain. Article 2 is cumbersome.
Hang on, Mr. Tober.
What?
Hang on. You just make the motion, then you need a second, and then we can discuss your motion. So can you repeat the... You want to postpone Article 2 to a time certain.
Yeah, maybe somebody will...
Do you know when that time certain is?
No.
Okay. We have a motion.
When we are all done with the discussion. When we are all done with the discussion, Mr. Moderator.
I'm afraid, Mr. Tober, you have to put that in your motion now. If you're going to move to postpone an article to a time certain, you must state what that period is. What are you trying to achieve here? Do you want to do it to the end of a meeting? You want to do it five articles from now?
No, this was just a phrase which is given to some sort of motion. I didn't know that you would hold me to it. You call that a motion to postpone to a time certain.
If you're trying to kill it, then move to indefinitely postpone. If you just want to move it to a different time other than tonight, then you move to postpone to a time certain and state when that is. Which is it are you trying to achieve, Mr. Tober?
Well, in that case, I will have to try to kill it.
Do I understand that you're making a motion to indefinitely postpone Article 2?
I did not, but you forced me to. May I please present my arguments for the postponement?
Fine. The record requires that you tell us what your motion is. Is it a motion to indefinitely postpone?
Yes, sir.
Is there a second? Thank you. Tell us about your motion, Mr. Tober.
Yeah. Mr. Moderator, Article 2 is very cumbersome. It's hard to read. And it talks about property tax relief. But property tax relief is not what is needed. Sensible tax policies, those are needed. If that takes a constitutional convention, so be it, Mr. Moderator and Mr. Kenny. I am going to propose a change in tax policy, and I know that is the legislature's competence, but I can't help that. Article 3 is patchwork, a comprehensive approach, a comprehensive variation, known locally as the Holy Grail, is available. And it has been embraced by State Senator Susan Fargo, and it has been used, offered by candidate Wesley Clark, and that is for member, that remark was addressed to members of the Turk. Articles 2 and 3 are immoral and dangerous because it ignores the fundamental values such as respect for the property right of homeowners. Article 2 and 3 is of an evil origin. Selectmen, driven by unjustified fear for loss of revenue, sought a way to derail the Grey Revolution, and they mistakenly thought that the Turk would do that. That is a comment addressed to Mrs. Fidel. I intend to make all of this more clear when we get to Article 4, which I shall try to modify. And you seniors, please trust me on what I'm going to do and support my motion to postpone. Do not applaud, but grind your teeth and fight back. I am one of you. I'm done for now.
Okay, thank you. Anybody wish to be heard in favor or opposed to the motion to indefinitely postpone? Seeing none. If I'm going to take a vote now on the motion to indefinitely postpone. If you're in favor of Article 2, vote against the motion to indefinitely postpone. If you're opposed to Article 2, vote in favor of the motion to indefinitely postpone. If you have some other agenda, ask someone else for advice. Yes? What is your point of order?
James Gardner, Longfellow Road. I'd like to take exception to the instructions, Mr. Moderator, that you just gave us on the following point. People should not be deciding on the motion for indefinite postponement based solely on their opposition to question two. People that are opposed to question two but want to see it fully debated should still vote to oppose the motion for indefinite postponement.
And that's why we needed the extra advice. Thank you. And he is correct. So we will now take up the motion to indefinitely postpone. All those in favor of indefinitely postponing Article 2, please raise your cards. All those opposed, it's overwhelmingly defeated. Does anybody wish to be heard on Article 2? Mr. Glass.
Well, that was sort of a good indication of the room, but so I'll give my little speech. Peter Glass of 523 Hudson Road. I don't want anyone to leave town except by their own choice, and I certainly agree that anyone who's in need should be helped. But the boundaries of this article create more inequities than they do correct them. I believe this is the second part of a classic tactic. Last year we were hit with the Article 54, and now this, by comparison, seems so much more reasonable. People might say, fine, this is okay. But this is not okay. Each of us can make a case for needing more money in order to feel secure, and so as to not have to sacrifice or make hard choices. We are told that someone who pays more than 10% of his income to housing is in need. Anyone who has mortgage plus taxes is very likely to be spending much more than 10% on housing. Ask any renter what percentage he is spending. Most people would be ecstatic to pay only 10% or anything close to it. To only pay $8,000 to live in a nice home in Sudbury is a bargain, no matter where the money is being spent by the town. It is not something from which you need relief. It is about financing. There is a social contract to educate children, and the fact that Sudbury spends to do it well, and as a result has made our homeowners wealthy, should bring joy to everyone. On the other hand, there is no social contract to provide housing abatements to seniors, so they may live in Sudbury at less cost than their neighbors. This article is not about groups, but it is personal. This is my neighbor taking money from my family and my child's future so that his cost of living may go down. Thus, every working non-senior who's not actually wealthy is paying more than 10% for housing, oftentimes making less than $60,000 while working, as opposed to making that from investments, and is paying 15% of his net pay to Social Security. Social Security and Medicare, much in the news these days, represent 20% of the federal budget. It's a huge burden on workers who will never be, and will never be as favorable to future seniors as it is to those of today, and it's something many of us will never live to receive. At least Sudbury taxes educate the children of tomorrow and increase your wealth through home equity. If a hard choice has to be made, and you don't think your investment in Sudbury is working for you, and you don't want to use tax deferral, then do what you think is, of course, best. But surely it's obvious in this world of 6 billion, you are the lucky ones. Yes, there are working people in Sudbury wealthier than you, but that does not make it right to ask for generosity from the pot of human kindness, when you should be thanking whomever you might worship for your many blessings. Don't impose on your neighbors, who have many worries about their futures and their families, just as you do. Pay your bills, be thankful, and vote no on question two.
Yes, ma'am.
Jennifer Gardner, 4 Longfellow Road. I support the principle of senior citizen tax relief, but I have some concerns with the article. I'm concerned about the complexity. I'm concerned about the administrative burden that it places on the town in terms of keeping track of who's eligible, in terms of collecting the money and redistributing the money. I'm also concerned because, again, the article requires the approval of the state legislature. I'm concerned that similar home rule petitions may have been rejected by the legislature in the past. And if this article is rejected, it will be another 3 years or more until a new plan could go into effect. If this article does not pass tonight, or the legislature rejects this home rule petition, I propose an alternate solution that would be completely under the control of the town of Sudbury. The Sudbury Selectmen can vote to create a residential tax exemption. Under Massachusetts law, as it exists right now, the Selectmen can vote to create a residential tax exemption up to a maximum of 20% of the average home assessment in Sudbury. In other words, the Selectmen could create an exemption of up to about the first $100,000 of a home's assessed property value. The residential tax exemption is already in place in 11 other Massachusetts cities and towns and is being considered in towns like Lexington. The result of the residential tax exemption is that it would make the property tax system more progressive. It would shift the burden from older, smaller homes to newer, larger homes. Overall, there would be no change in the total amount of tax collected. And homes that are close to the average assessed value would also experience no change in their taxes. Although a residential tax exemption is not geared specifically to seniors, it will help with the majority of seniors, as the PTURC report mentioned that the majority of seniors are living in the smaller homes. So I believe that the residential tax exemption would provide help for the seniors who are most at risk. Seniors living on fixed incomes, seniors who bought their homes quite some time ago for low prices and their home's value has now escalated to hundreds of thousands of dollars. These small to modest-sized homes would receive the most tax benefit, and seniors in condos would also receive tax benefits under this plan. The progressive nature of the residential tax exemption plan that I am proposing fits into the intent of the current article. Under the current article, benefits are only given to seniors with homes assessed at a value of not more than 1.25 times the average assessed value for the town of Sudbury. So overall, there are several advantages to having a residential tax exemption. First, it only requires a vote of the Sudbury Selectmen. It is not dependent on the vote of the state legislature. It could potentially go into effect next year. Furthermore, it would not create an administrative burden on the town. Furthermore, it would have flexibility in that each year the selectmen could reconsider whether the plan, whether the exemption was having the desired effect, and it could be, the amount of the exemption could be changed or it could be ended entirely. So again, to summarize, if the current senior citizen tax relief article does not pass tonight or the legislature rejects this home rule petition, I would strongly urge that the town give serious consideration to creating a residential tax exemption.
Thank you. I don't know if you can hear the noise out there. We can hear it up this end of the hall. It's the LS heating system. Nobody's banging chairs around. And for those of you who think Jack Ryan did that on purpose to get, you know, his budget passed, that's not true. Yes, sir.
Bob McDonald, Aaron Road. I want to thank the PTURC committee for working so hard on this. They put a lot of effort into it. That should be acknowledged. But that should not be a reason to vote for this article. I urge that you defeat this article. It goes too far. First, it does not have an acid test. It does not look at real need. On their own presentation tonight, they were saying the ones that need the most help are the people that are 75 plus, yet in the article they start at 65. In the presentation they said that homes, basically $400,000 and less, yet in the article they're going 1.25 times the average. The average home in Sudbury, if I can believe Boston Magazine, is now $568,000. That would mean a house that's up to $710,000 would be eligible in their proposal. We're all struggling to make ends meet. Not everybody in Sudbury who's younger than 65 makes $180,000. We're saving for college. Maybe you have somebody in college. You have mortgages to pay. The economy isn't as great as people would think it is. We're all struggling. I ask that you defeat this and let the committee go back and, instead of shotgunning a solution, pinpoint a solution to help those that they themselves recognize need the most help. And I think that that would be the best way to do it. We heard one person said he didn't think that too many people would slip under the radar screen that didn't need help, but they don't know. And I'd like to have more of a specific person count, if you will, before asking for money for helping out people. I think it's just a way to do things is to pinpoint, not shotgun, put an acid test in there, make sure that somebody who has a stock portfolio, mutual fund portfolio, land holdings, isn't going to be slipping in and having people pay taxes. Because if you're really dedicated to helping people who need help, then pinpoint it and help the people who need the help, and not just throw something out because your town meeting is tonight and you want to get something voted on. So I ask you to defeat this article. Thank you.
Yes, ma'am.
Hi, I'm Tara Reed, co-chair of PTURC. I just wanted to respond to some of the comments here tonight. A few of the points that people have raised actually were considered, although maybe not everyone's had the opportunity or the misery of reading all of our work product. With regard to younger families, there is an exemption in there. Younger families who would otherwise qualify for relief but for their age are exempt from the surcharge, so the program is designed not to add burden on younger families who would qualify on an income perspective for the PTURC proposal. With regard to the residential exemption, that was something that PTURC did specifically review. We reviewed it quite carefully, and we specifically rejected. We considered that to be too broad. It's not a focused program. It's not based on need. The residential exemption is merely a burden shift. Basically, we spent a lot of time doing math. You exempt perhaps the first 100,000, the tax bills shift up regardless of someone's capability of paying, so people who are quite able to meet their tax burden, who are in lower cost homes, would be getting relief, which wasn't our specific goal. We were trying to aim this at people in need. With regard to many of the comments on the asset test, we do not have an asset test in terms of people having to come in and report every single thing that they own, which we then scrutinize and decide whether they are allowed to participate. That seemed like that was an invasion. It was unlikely for us to be able to police it successfully, and it would probably diminish participation in the program. We do capture people's income as reported. People who have big stock portfolios are likely having income from those portfolios. Your income is captured, and that was the way we tried to get at that. Some of the other members of the committee may want to get into some of the finance on how we capture people's overall financial condition. I understand the program's not perfect. Everybody has their preferred thing. Everybody on PTURC probably has at least one change that they would have liked to have seen to our final recommendation. But we were trying to get something that healed the town, that brought it together, that was moderate, that was manageable, and that could be put in place. I think the comments tonight and everyone's participation are indications that we have an active and thoughtful group of voters here. I'm hopeful that if we could at least put something in place, we'll get it started. We will have the opportunity to review this program. It will be quite actively watched, I'm sure, by everyone here tonight, as well as others. And we always have an opportunity at town meeting to move, to change anything. The selectmen will be monitoring this. If we need to make a change in the program, I assure you they will make it. I feel confident they will make it. And they will probably make it post-haste if we discover that some change needs to be made. I have a hard time envisioning how we would go from a no vote tonight to offering any program here in Sudbury. A lot of time, effort, and energy have gone into developing various proposals. I don't think we're ever going to get to the point that something will be proposed to this body that everyone views as perfect. I think we need to put something in place that's thoughtful, start it, see how it works, and fix it. It takes energy and it takes diligence, but I think we can have that on an ongoing basis without waiting until the perfect proposal comes before us. Thank you.
Mr. Coe?
I'm Bob Coe, 14 Churchill Street. And I hope I'm not the only one in the hall tonight who remembers how we got to where we are. When Ralph Tyler proposed his original article last year, it was not proposed as a way of giving tax relief to needy seniors. The idea was that if the town lowered the tax burden on some of the people who were most likely to leave town, that we would stop the exodus of senior citizens, or at least slow down the exodus of senior citizens from the town, and that this would, in the long run, potentially save the town money. Now, what's happened in the intervening year is that we're now confronted with an article that would, in fact, raise taxes on many of the people that the original proposal would have lowered taxes for. If anything, it might accelerate the loss of senior citizens to the town. I think the objective has been lost sight of here, and I think that a lot of the opposition that you've heard tonight shows that this article isn't ready for prime time. And the fact that a lot of work went into it by a lot of people, you know, I'm sympathetic to that. I've spent a lot of time working for the town myself. But a bad idea is a bad idea, and it doesn't make any difference how much work went into producing it. And I don't really think that this, in the form that it's in tonight, is a good idea. Besides, I think that it has very little chance of getting through the legislature in this form. Just think, imagine yourself a member of the legislature, and ask yourself if you would vote for this for one arbitrary town in the Commonwealth. I sure wouldn't, and I hope you wouldn't either, and I hope you won't vote for it tonight.
Yes, sir.
Thank you. My name is Jim Idelson from 96 Morse Road. In trying to come to a conclusion on how to vote here, I find myself asking myself a question, and I think the question might best be answered by somebody on the FinCom representing the majority. My question is, what they perceive the magnitude of the risk of unintended beneficiaries receiving some portion of the proceeds of the 2% is? How large is that magnitude? And thinking about that from two perspectives. One is, given the makeup and demographics of the community today, and after this policy were to go into place, whether they perceive that there would be a significant change in demographics based on a new incentive or anything like that.
Ms. Billing, do you wish to address that?
Yes. Sir, our charge as the Finance Committee is to... our charge as the Finance Committee is to review any articles that have a financial impact to the town. We don't have the resources to do any research like that or to figure out that data. I'm sure it's something, as the PTURC continues on, they could probably look at, since a lot of us are concerned about the asset issue, and as Tara acknowledged, they recognize that.
So what I understand is that was the split. The split was based on the risk, but there was no ability to gather any data.
No, sir.
In order to make a real determination.
We can only evaluate the article as it's presented to us.
Yes.
I'm Joe Meeks at Dakin Road. I think we might have actually gotten this thing right by virtue of the fact that there are opinions on both sides of the spectrum that are unhappy with the proposal. It may be as a sign that we've achieved some kind of compromise between the two extremes of the position. I was really angry last town meeting when I left this hall, because I was afraid that this place had gotten down into the dirt of a generational kind of war over benefits and money and et cetera, et cetera. I circulated a letter that says, I know our taxes are high, and I'm damn proud of it. And the reason I'm proud of it is because of everything that we've been able to create in this town because of it. And a lot of these overrides have passed because we've had the support not only of the people with children in schools, but also a good number of seniors here in town that stand right behind us for doing what's right for the community, even if it's at a personal sacrifice to them and their tax bills. So I've heard that, why can't we zero in on assets? I've also heard this thing is too complex. The more we zero in on assets and try to capture those, the more complex and burdensome it becomes. I've heard, well, why have we used existing mechanisms to try and craft this thing? Is it just some attempt to curry favor with people who may have passed previous proposals? It's not. It's to make it more manageable and make it more practical to implement. The same paperwork that you use to qualify for CPA exemption forms the same basis for the paperwork required to do this, to either qualify for it, or if you're a lower income family that's below the age, to be exempt from it. I started out the whole PTURC thing with a lot of cynicism because of my bitterness after the town meeting. How could we possibly come together on something like this? And the thing I guess I'm asking the people in the room to trust is that wherever you guys are today, there are a lot of folks here that come to this. The last point of reference was the meeting last year. And the people in the PTURC are people just like the rest of you guys. And you don't have to thank us for it. You know, our wives are kicking us in the butt. Our kids say, where are you, Dad? Okay? But that's what everybody's been there. Everyone's done that. Everybody in this room has volunteered for stuff. So thanks, but that's not the important thing. We spent a lot of time thinking about these things, looking at the 89 different ways you could look at any one particular issue, trying to come up with what the compromise was that we thought would address the lion's share of the problem here. And I am so grateful for what the community's done for my kids, and for what it's done for the value of my house, and for the seniors that have helped make that happen as well, that I can take the time to recognize the fact that the very taxes that are buying me all these things have increased so dramatically in the recent years that I know there are people that are retired that never had the chance to plan for something like that, that have been impacted by it. And this isn't a lot. It's 2%. And it's something I'm happy to do because I think we've taken a lot of care in making sure it gets to the right people. And that's all I have to say.
Excuse me? Yeah, we're going to have a little bit more debate. I don't think we've had an opportunity here. We'll go on for another maybe 10 or 15 minutes. Why don't we have these four people who are at the mic? Yes, ma'am.
Claire Schlosser, 509 Concord Road. I'm also a member of PTURC. However, I'm stepping up here tonight to talk to everybody as a resident and as a fellow resident of everybody here in this room. I moved to Sudbury about 5 years ago, honestly, because I couldn't afford a place in the city. And, you know, my taxes have gone up like everybody else. I don't have any children. I've gratefully supported the school system. I was very interested in helping seniors because I live in an area that has seniors all around me. And they're unbelievably supportive to me as becoming a member of this community. And I was on the cutting walk this last Saturday. We all had a couple of invitations, and it really struck me that how much the seniors of this town have built this community and make it the place that it is now for all of us to live in today. And reflecting on my experience on PTURC and seeing the need, seeing the seniors that have been here that have fixed incomes in the teens and in the 20s. I mean, these are our families. These are our town members. This is not, you know, somebody who's going to go out and see what tax they can get, you know, because we're going to pass this thing and they're going to go out and try not to pay some more taxes. This is not how our seniors think here. This is really a community. And I'd just like to appeal to everybody here to help the people in need to participate and to talk to your neighbors, whether they be seniors or parents, and, you know, be involved in this decision. The data that we have here is good data, and nothing's perfect, but it's really solid. So I just encourage everybody to vote yes on Article 2. Thank you.
Yes, Mr. Polk.
My name's Eric Polk, Knobscot Road. I was almost okay with this article until the co-chair of PTURC stood up and talked. And if it's going to be suggested to me that it's sufficient that the town of Sudbury put legislation in front of our state house that hasn't yet been fully vetted and hammered out, I have to disagree. That's like saying you're going to put a car on the Mass Pike that doesn't have third, fourth, and fifth gear and hope you get to the next exit. There are also a number of definitions that are being used interchangeably, which I disagree with. Seniors do not equal people in need. Seniors, while a very vital, important part of this community, are not all lumped into the group of being needy. I would put to PTURC that you may have gotten a more favorable response had you pinpointed your area of needy citizens in town and reported back to town committee literally saying there are 102 people in this town who are in dire need. How will you help them? Your response would have been overwhelming, swift, and unending. As the article stands now, I think it's fraught with potential for manipulation, and I urge your defeat of the article. Thank you.
Yes, sir.
My name is Wayne Thomas. I've been a Sudbury resident for 26 years. I came here tonight with the intent of supporting this vote. I heard two things that have changed my mind. One was Mr. Glass's comment about, you know, is it right to take 2% out of my pocket and his pocket and give it to somebody else, even if it's a worthy cause? And I got to sitting there thinking, as much as I would like to have seniors helped out, what about people who are down on their luck in the job market, who can barely make it? And then I'm sitting there thinking, I've got a 7-year-old and a 10-year-old that I haven't saved enough money yet to send to college. What about that? What about somebody who suddenly becomes a single parent and their source of income is stripped away and who can't stay in the town? So I feel that as good as the cause is, there are so many good causes that we have not the right to pick one out and favor it among other over other equally legitimate causes. And I think all of us, or at least most of us, despite what the income figures say, know that it's very difficult to make a living out there and to support ourselves in the style that this town demands. And just because there are certain income levels doesn't mean that people have the free money to support all the good causes. And 2% here and 2% there, all of a sudden, as they say, you start to add up some real money. So I oppose the plan. Yes, sir.
Hi, Stephen Murphy. I'm a resident since 1993, and I had a question for the minority portion of the subcommittee. If they could, can I direct a question to them to clarify?
Direct it to me, and I'll direct it to them.
There seemed to be a point at issue as to whether or not this program was able to have a sunset provision. I think one of the selectmen pointed out that there was provisions under 14 in the description of Article 2 that allowed for it to be continued, but I think there's a distinct difference, and I'm trying to understand what that is. This is an experiment at best, and it ought to have, in my mind, a sunset provision, and then if it looks like it has a reason to continue, voters at town meeting could vote to extend it rather than have to do the reverse, where it goes on unless voters want to rise up and defeat it or end it. And I think that's the distinction that the minority was making about a sunset provision. I'd like that clarified, because I would be possibly in favor of this if I knew that it was going to be an abbreviated program that would end, and we could then look at the results of it and determine whether or not it did have the benefits it was attempting to achieve and there weren't any abuses. But I'm very uncomfortable and would be opposed if, in fact, this can go on until such time as somebody decides to analyze those results and oppose it continuing.
Thank you. Mr. Wister?
I think the gentleman who just spoke precisely understood the nature of my concerns. The way it was decided to go forth with Article 2 is to disprove it in the negative, if you will, that the article will continue ad infinitum until or unless a town meeting decides to vote in favor of discontinuance or a change, as opposed to other similar proposals where they are put forth and approved for a specific period of time and then must be renewed by town meeting in order to continue.
Can I ask someone in the majority then to stand up and explain why the majority of the committee elected not to have a sunset provision specifically?
Yes. Ms. Reed?
Take a shot at it. My fellow colleagues over here can correct me. One of the things that we were considering and one of the concerns we had with a hard and fast termination date was that for seniors and people in long-term disability, we shouldn't lose sight of this fact, this isn't just seniors, would be able to plan and hopefully rely on the program so that if it seems as though it's going forward and it's going well, the program would stay in place. In some cases, it's a sense of perception. The program is subject to review, and I think we should all expect that review will have a fair amount of scrutiny. But we didn't want people that were hoping for this to go forward to think that they had to rally the troops to get it reapproved on a regular basis, that in fact this was a commitment to try to do something if we have done it and structured it right.
Thank you. On that basis, I would be opposed to this article.
Thank you. I've been presented with a motion to amend. I recognize Mr. Keller.
Bill Keller, 31 Churchill Street. I move to amend Article 2. The motion is going up on the bulletin board. Do I need to read it, Mr. Moderator?
Yes.
Yes. I move to amend Article 2, Section 8, Eligibility, as follows. Subsection D, delete the words 1.25 multiplied by, and then add subsection I as follows. Net assets of taxpayer excluding the principal residence, paren, all assets except the principal residence, less all liabilities, shall not exceed 50% of the assessed value of the principal residence.
Does that receive a second? It does. Mr. Keller for presentation.
Well, first off, I was told before taking office as selectman I shouldn't stand up here and piss everybody off, but I'm going to run the risk that that might occur. I personally was troubled by there not being an asset test in Article 2. I started my town service on the Board of Assessors, and I think I have a pretty good handle on the fact that people are absolutely in need of some tax relief, especially seniors. As I sat here this evening, I felt, although I was prepared to bring this up, I wasn't really going to do it, but as I hear the debate going on, I think it's important that we consider this. My intent here is that tax relief for seniors be limited to seniors whose homes do not exceed the average assessed value in town, and also that those applying for eligibility not have other assets, and I've set the bar at 50% of the value of their home, that they not have other assets that, in my judgment, would mean they really can't afford to pay their taxes. And that's the intent of this motion to amend. As I started out by saying, I think there's a need in town. I think this addresses it. I'm attempting to address the concern of those who are troubled by the lack of an asset test. I don't want to see the situation, and I've standing at the polls recently talking to people coming up, I've heard people say, you know, someone could have a house worth $600,000 in Sudbury and own a house in the Cape and get a tax break. And you could under PTURC as it's presently written. That would be wrong. I think this remedies the situation, and I'm asking you to consider this and vote in favor of this motion to amend. Thank you.
Thank you. Let me just ask the speakers at the microphone who are waiting. Are you prepared to address this amendment? Because that's what's before you right now. Is there a second? I'm told there was. And there is now, if there wasn't before. I may finish. The speakers at the mic, I don't know what you were planning on saying, but I'd like you to direct your comments to this amendment. And okay? The gentleman in the middle of that line, were you there first?
Yeah, but I'm not speaking on the motion to amend.
You're not speaking on the motion to amend?
No. I want to speak on the main.
Yes.
Great. Gentleman at this mic, do you wish to speak on the motion to amend?
Yes, I do.
Please.
Jan Hudenberg, 7 Tippling Rock Road. Can somebody put up, there was a chart that showed various income levels and the average house price, and somebody who should have gotten a tax break of $2,225 was stripped down to $2,000. Would it be possible to get that chart up? Because my impression when I was looking at it is it's a pretty low bar before you start to get your income has to be very low in order to get a reasonable percent. And that for these people, these imaginary people who have these large stock portfolios, who have a house on the Cape and a beautiful house up in Sudbury, are they really making less than $35,000? And how do they pay for gas to drive back and forth and things like that?
Thank you. Does anybody else wish to speak on this amendment? Yes, ma'am.
Martha Cole, 14 Churchill Street. There's a sleeper in this amendment. It's something that, unless you've been looking at what's going on in the pensions in this country recently, well, actually for the past 30 years, you wouldn't see it. But I'm at the age where I see it. People who are in 75, 80 years old, they're on what is called a defined benefit pension. It's the kind that our parents had, where you pay into the pension plan And the amount of money you get back, a defined amount each week or month or so on. You don't own the principal of that pension. Now, about 30 years ago, there was this Employee Income Retirement Security Act, which shifted the pensions gradually to something called a defined contribution pension. And if you are on IRA or 401k, you are on defined contribution.
Mrs. Coe, we are talking about this amendment. Huh?
Yes, I am.
Okay.
Because the next thing I'm saying is that the person on defined contribution owns his pension amount. The person on defined benefit does not. So that if you're on defined contribution with IRA, 401k, your 401k is going to be counted into this. But the person on defined benefit doesn't own the sum that is used to pay his pension. The company or some bank does. He just gets an income stream. And so this would be stacked against the person who is on an IRA or a 401k because their assets are going to look very good, but in fact that money is principal, which is generating the income they have to live on for the rest of their life. And the other thing that the gentleman over there reminded me of is these numbers that we get about this $90,000 for seniors, that was the 1990 census. I worked on the 1990 census. We were out taking questionnaires before the market went down the tank. So a lot of people, and that is based on what people had on their 1999 tax return. So a lot of people who were making $90,000 a year way back when, you know, back around at the beginning of 2000, aren't making anything near that anymore. And if you've listened to the seniors who have, you know, brought this, they will tell you that they are not, you know, the interest rates went down, the stock market went down. And again, for the person on defined contribution, anybody on defined contribution is in that situation. So the bottom line I'm saying is that the person who has the old-style pension does not own the principal that pays his pension. The person on the new-style pension does own that amount of money. He looks very rich, but in fact he will not be.
Thank you. Ma'am, is this on the motion to amend?
Yes, it is. Kirsten Van Dyke, 37 Landham Road. I'd like to thank Selectman-elect Keller for pissing everyone off tonight. In doing so, he's made me much more comfortable with the amendment that he's brought forward. I was not going to vote in favor of Article 2 as written in the warrant, not because I didn't believe in it, but because I personally, in my burden in voting, my conscience would not allow me to vote for that. There are other people other than seniors in town that are pushing the limits of their 20%, 15% income ratio when it comes to a mortgage and the added additional costs there to maintain a reasonable lifestyle in a town as wonderful as Sudbury is and has become in the last 5 or 10 years that I've been a resident. I realized, unfortunately, that suddenly I'm getting an additional 2% surcharge for the benefit of hopefully being able to stay here and reap the benefits of such a article. I urge you to vote in favor of the amended article that Selectman-elect Keller has presented tonight, and if not, I would like all to consider perhaps a motion to postpone to a certain date of town meeting 2005 when the committee can bring forward a more detailed number scheme, including asset evaluations. Thank you.
Okay. People want to hear more on the motion to amend? Okay. One more speaker, someone who hasn't spoken before.
How about me? I have not spoken before, and I was ahead of those people.
Thank you. Please.
Carol Hanauer, 48 Old Lancaster Road. I am a senior. And I attended a PTURC meeting, and I was terribly disturbed by the fact that there was no asset test. I can and do adjust my income to my minimal needs so that the state and the federal government won't get it. And I am very much in favor of Mr. Keller's amendment. It has, I came in favor of the of Article 2. Over the course of the conversation so far, I have turned against it, and Mr. Keller has turned me back on. It's a wart on a wart, but it's the best wart we've got.
Thank you. Okay. Again, did someone call the question? Question's been called. Is it seconded? All those in favor, this is a two-thirds vote. All those in favor of the call of the question, please signify by raising your cards. All those opposed, it's clearly a two-thirds. We will go on to the motion to amend, and it's on the screen before you. All those in favor of the motion to amend, please signify by raising your cards. All those opposed. Okay, we're going to try a standing vote count. All those in favor of the motion to amend, please stand and raise your cards high. Thank you. All those opposed to the amendment, please stand and raise your cards high. Yeah, it's pretty clear from here that a majority is in favor of the motion to amend. Excuse me? Majority vote. Raise your hand if you want to count it. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. We will count the whole. Would the tellers come forward, please? In answer to your question, there's nobody in the gym. Everybody is in this room. Could the police at the back of the halls please ask anybody in the corridors to come in and then close the doors? Okay, thank you for your patience. Can everyone be seated if you want your vote counted?
vote for the participants. All those who are in favor of the main motion, please see, no, excuse me, about the amendment. Is Jan? Jan Silva, is the amendment back on the screen? Excuse me. Everybody who is in favor of the amendment that you see on the screen, please rise and hold your cards. We're going to start at the back of the hall and come forward. Please don't sit down until the tellers have asked you to sit. Thank you. This is a majority vote.
The problem with the asset tax is people felt like it was unadministrable, I think, is why they didn't put it in there. I'm standing up to speak. Don't count me. I'm against this.
Have your attention, please. We're recording all the yes votes, and now we're prepared for the noes. All those opposed to the amendment, please rise and hold your cards. And please return to your seats. So you can be counted. If you're in the aisle, you won't be counted. Please return to your seats. Wait, Bill?
Hang on. Can I have your number? So go ahead and count that. That's fine. Okay.
Have your attention, please. We have the final numbers on the motion to amend. In favor, 250. Opposed, 162. The motion to amend carries. Jan, could you put... Now, this is the Article 2
with the amendment on it. Mr. Pecos.
I'm Paul Pecos from 231 Knobscot Road. I'd like to make a motion to amend the amendment to exclude from assets IRA assets and such other retirement assets that constitute the sole and primary income source for people who would otherwise be qualified.
Does that receive a second?
Yeah.
It does.
Yeah.
Hang on a minute. Mr. Pecos, you have to put that in writing.
I've started to, and I'll be happy to deliver it.
Please, and deliver it first to Jan at the ViewGraph, and then secondly to the town clerk and myself.
Oh, neither am I.
But while you're waiting to do that, could you repeat the motion to amend?
Yes.
And then you may be heard on it.
The motion to amend is to exclude from assets those retirement assets such as IRAs that constitute the primary retirement income for those that would otherwise be eligible for relief.
I'd like to speak in favor of your motion to amend.
Yes, I'd like to speak in favor. As it was eloquently pointed out by one of the women speakers just not so long ago, she talked about the defined benefit plans and defined contribution plans. Many, many people are on defined benefit plans. That means they have IRAs. That IRA is their asset. That's what's giving them their income. If we start counting that as an asset, nobody will qualify. If one has $200,000 in IRA assets and they're trying to draw down at, let's be generous, $25,000 a year in order to live in Sudbury, they're out of money in 8 years, and they're not going to be qualified because of the $200,000 asset. It makes much, much more sense to exclude those assets that are the primary source of income for those people otherwise eligible. These just editorial comment. I'm a member of PTURC. Don't vote for this because we worked hard. Vote for it after you've thought about it, because we thought about it at great, great length. And amendments from the floor, such as I'm making now, are oftentimes not as well thought out. Thanks.
Mr. Pecos, could you now give a copy of that to those at the ViewGraph? Yes, sir. This is on the motion to amend only. This is on the motion to amend?
Negative.
Is there a second? Thank you very much. Yes, sir.
Yes, Jonathan Gossels, 11 Sabilla Circle. I'd like to speak on the motion to amend that the last amendment, I think, addressed a serious problem in the initial proposal. However, what we're seeing with this next amendment is the problem of amendments on the floor. This thing is starting to unravel. There's other problems in here. We still have now, we've now narrowed the pool of people that are eligible for this, but we're still putting in the 2%. This is a mess. I think at this point we should reject this amendment and we should reject this article.
Thank you. This is strictly on the motion to amend. Yes, ma'am.
Kirsten Van Dyke, 37 Landham Road. This is a question I'd like to pose to the FinCom. How does this motion to amend and the subsequent motion to amend the amendment affect the 5% administrative surcharge for the article?
Yes. Bob Jacobson, FinCom.
I believe if you're looking for a specific dollar amount, that question would be more appropriately asked of Maureen Hafner, the town assessor. What I will tell you, though, is if, since there is a 5% cap within the article as it stands right now, based on a $900,000 fund, you're talking about $45,000 to be able to be removed from the fund to cover administrative expenses. If the administrative expenses have increased because of this amendment and exceed the $45,000, any additional funds needed will come out of the operating budget.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Yes, sir. On the motion to amend.
Jim Gish, 35 Rolling Lane. Although I believe that this motion to amend is well-intentioned, I, for one, am not an expert on tax code, and I would venture to say that the vast majority of the hall tonight is not as either, and it is utter folly to try to tweak and engineer the language of this at this point. I urge defeat of this amendment, and let's get back to the main motion.
Thank you. Yes, sir, you're prepared to speak on the motion to amend now?
Bob McDonald, Aaron Road. I just wanted to ask the FinCom committee on this motion before us to amend, do you have any idea of what the impact is going to be on the town?
Yes, as I just stated, I mean,
I'm not asking about the administrative costs. I'm just talking about the impact on the revenues coming into the town. I mean, the answer is no. I don't think that anybody shooting from the hip right now. It's the wrong thing to do. I would urge defeat of this motion.
Thank you. Yes, ma'am?
I want to speak on the motion to amend, but I'd like to see it in front of me.
Hang on a minute. Jan, do we have it ready yet? The motion to amend? No, we just got it. We're trying to put it in order, and we'll put it on the screen as soon as we have it.
Well, I want to be sure I get a chance.
Well, why don't you stay right there, and we'll write it up, and then we'll give you a chance. Yes, ma'am.
Jennifer Gardner, Longfellow Road. I'm against this amendment, and I was also against the previous amendment. This creates too much of an administrative burden. How is the town going to determine people's assets? How will they determine if someone has a second house on the Cape? How is the town going to have to determine which assets are IRA and which assets are not? I think overall there's already a strong administrative burden on the town with the original article. And furthermore, I would say that by having the assessment tied to the assessed value of the home, what that means is that people who have larger homes will be allowed to have more assets and they will still qualify. And I don't think that that is the intended purpose of the article.
Thank you. Yes, sir. Motion to amend? Nobody. Motion to amend, right here.
Dave Costello, 39 Balcom Road. I'd speak in favor of the motion to amend. Doing some calculations, I certainly understand that a person with a house on the Cape and one in Sudbury might not qualify for relief, but I ask myself, what are they going to live on if those are their only assets? But if you don't have a second home, and this is what I'm a member of PTURC, and I was worked on this issue in particular, if you have your home is at the average assessed value of $568,000, the prior amendment will limit your other assets to $284,000. If that's your retirement portfolio, at best, a 7% return yields you $20,000 a year, and if you double that by spending down the principal, that gets you to $40,000 a year. So I think that the prior amendment excludes virtually everyone from qualifying for the relief that was intended by Article 2. So I think that excluding retirement assets makes complete sense, because we do have appropriate income limits in Article 2 that will correlate with the level of someone's retirement assets. And consequently, you should vote for the amendment that was provided by Mr. Pecos.
Thank you. Ms. Deutsch, you now see it on the screen.
I'd like it in large print again, because I am a senior.
Yeah.
Judy Deutsch, 41 Concord Road. And basically, I'm very much in favor of asset requirement, and I didn't vote either way on the amendment that passed, because I was concerned that it would impoverish some people. But I think that the way this is worded really speaks to that, and I am in favor of it. If I could see it in larger print.
Jan Silva? Can we enlarge that?
It was in large print for a moment.
Can we make that in larger print?
Ah, thank you.
Right.
I'm concerned with and such other assets. And here I'm addressing my question to the person who proposed the amendment. I'm concerned with and such other assets that constitute the primary source of income, because that could be stocks in Fleet, for instance. I mean, who's... I like the excluding IRAs, but the next phrase, I think, is dangerous. And I forget who proposed this amendment. I wonder if he would take that out as a friendly amendment to the amendment.
Mr. Pecos?
Oh, let me try to address that. Again, a lot of these are stream of consciousness. I appreciate your support for the IRAs. Not everybody has an IRA. Some people are self-employed. Maybe they call it a KEO. Maybe they call it something else. I'm trying to capture those things that are, in fact, primary sources of income. Maybe somebody does have that extra house, but guess what? Maybe the rental income from that house is their primary source of income. How do we capture that in a phrase? That's the best I could do.
Okay, thank you.
I would rather it be excluding IRAs and such other assets. And I wonder if the gentleman would accept that as a friendly amendment.
Which words are you excluding?
That constitute the primary source of income.
So you wanted to read
for those
excluding IRAs?
For those who would help us.
That's not that for the, no, that doesn't make sense.
Okay.
We're all set? Mr. Pecos, I think we're all set. Thank you.
Judy, are you okay?
Please, all questions should be addressed through the chair so we can maintain some degree of order. Are we prepared to vote on this amendment, or do we wish to hear more? All?
There are other comments up here.
Excuse me?
There are other comments
up
here.
Like this,
and two won't. Here. Is someone calling the question, or is there a second? All those in favor of hearing the motion to amend at this time, please raise your cards. All those opposed? Clearly passes by a two-thirds vote. Everybody see the amendment on the screen? I'll ask all those in favor of the motion to amend to raise your cards. All those opposed? It's overwhelmingly defeated. We're back to the main motion. Question's been called. Is there a second? There is a second. I'm going to put the main motion with the amendment that passed on the view graph. Does anybody need any further explanation? Wonderful. All those in favor of the main motion as amended.
Excuse me, I've been up here three times to try to talk on the main motion.
I'm sorry, that's not a point of order. I apologize. But we can't take that as a point of order. The question's been called and passed. Is it a point of order, Mr. Tyler? Hang on. Mr. Tyler. Great. Well, no, that's quite all right. Thank you. Mr. Tyler? You didn't really mean that, did you? Thank you. We received your point of order. You can be seated.
A point of order, Mr. Moderator?
No, we're not finished with the first point of order. Please. Mr. Kenny, do you have a legal opinion on that point of order? In the mic.
Mr. Moderator, the document referred to, or the proposed legislation referred to, does
deal with bringing it back to the town meeting. As a matter of fact, I think it's a task about bringing it back for a vote.
Thank you. Yes, sir, your point of order.
Mr. Moderator, at the beginning of the session, you said that you wanted to make certain that both sides of every issue is heard completely. We've just, there were a number of people who had risen to address the main motion. They were overridden by people who moved two amendments to the main motion. And now we're back and we went to an immediate motion to go to a vote without further discussion on the main motion. And I don't believe that that is the way the town meeting should be conducted. We now have a different motion up there than what we started with. And I think that the amended motion should be subject to debate, just as though it were a brand new motion, because it is. It's not the motion that was here before.
Thank you. Are there any other points of order? Does anybody require any explanation on the motion in front of you? I apologize to those who didn't get a chance to speak. The question had been called. The call of the question was voted on. It was passed by an overwhelmingly more than a two-thirds vote of the hall. Yes.
You know what? The question was actually following the amendment.
Ah, okay. Thank you for the point of order. Excuse me. If you have a point of order, please raise your hand. Yes. Can we reconsider? Hang on one second. Mr. Surratt.
Moderator, I called the question on the main motion at being 10:30, and I think the issue is having been added to the debate.
Thank you, Mr. Surratt. Thank you. Does anybody have any questions about the main motion in front of you as amended? We're going to call for a vote. All those in favor of the main motion as amended, please signify by raising your cards. All those opposed, it's overwhelmingly defeated. We've finished with Article 2. I am told that Article 3 is going to be indefinitely postponed. Do you wish to remain for that one article? Yes. Sense of the hall, all those who'd like to just vote on Article 3 and get it out of the way, please signify by raising your cards. All those opposed? Passes. Article 3, Mr. Tyler.
I'd like to move to indefinitely postpone Article 3.
Is there a second? Mr. Tyler?
Yeah, let me get organized here. Let's move quickly. This article was placed in the warrant to be able to give Sudbury the opportunity to adopt legislation if it came out of the State House to enable new senior citizen tax relief. Town Council, after we filed it, raised some objections as to whether or not we could be, in fact, endorsing something that wasn't passed yet. And so I think that, you know, we're going to take his opinion. We couldn't do it. I have some very good news to report, and that is that there's a lot happening at the State House that we can be, you know, hopeful that maybe some new programs will be coming down the state from the state level. There is a bill that passed the Senate about a week ago that has some interesting provisions in it. There's another bill that passed in the House. They're quite different. When the House and the Senate get together, put them together, I think that we can bring something here. Excuse me. Somebody addressing me?
No, it was to me, and that's out of order. Continue.
Okay, I think I have 10 minutes.
Point of order?
What's your point of order, Mr. Gardner?
James Gardner, Longfellow Road. Mr. Moderator, correct me if I'm wrong, and I'm sure you will, but I believe that when the motion is to indefinitely postpone consideration, the only discussion can be on the question of whether it should be indefinitely postponed, not a status report of other related material.
Thank you, Mr. Gardner. You're correct. You are out of order because Mr. Tyler was addressing the motion indefinitely postponed, and he'll be even more succinct now. Mr. Tyler?
Where was I? I'm tempted to start again. I lost my train of thought. Senior moment. We have House Bill 4585. Lots and lots of new changes to legislation that would make changes to the tax deferral program, that would create a new senior property tax exemption. We have another bill, House 4519, which has also actually gotten to the Senate, was replaced by a bill 2300, which was further amended by the Senate. So for the reason that what's happening at the State House is in quite a bit of turmoil, we don't have any good visibility as to what will eventually come out. It's not a timely to address Article 3. In discussing, I was tempted to offer a different motion, which was to postpone consideration of Article 3 until May 30th, sort of like we did last year for the budget, because I think the state will work in that time frame. The selectmen indicated that they would prefer that we not take that attitude and take that course, but they said that if good legislation comes down from the legislature, they'd be willing to consider putting it on a special town meeting warrant so that this town can do things, necessary things for the senior citizens as soon as they become available. So thank you, and I hope you vote to indefinitely postpone this. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Tyler. Do the selectmen need the report, or the FinCom needs the report? Are we all set?
Selectmen support.
Thank you. I take it there's no debate. You wish to vote on the motion. Motion is to indefinitely postpone Article 3. All those in favor, please raise your cards. All those opposed? It's overwhelmingly passed. Thank you very much. Is there a motion?
Move to adjourn.
Motion to adjourn this session of the annual town meeting until Monday, April 12th, 2004, at 7:30 in the evening. Is there a second? All in favor? Thank you.
Yeah.